Welcome back to another Edge Got In podcast. Thank you for pushing the pause button and joining us today. For the handout for today's podcast, please visit edgegotin.com. And usually it's posted below the podcast. And it's a one page that'll just help you to capture your learnings for today. This is going to be a fast and furious podcast, as many of them are. And it's a topic that I'm pretty confident everyone who's tuning in today can relate to, sometimes 24/7, even when the sun goes down, particularly when the sun goes down. We're going to be talking about thinking, not just thinking, but negative thinking. The topic for today's podcast is a solution for negative thinking. The scriptures that we're going to focus on come from 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, as well as from the book of Luke. I've been really doing a deep dive into the book of Luke, and we're going to look at Luke chapter 9, verse 1, and we're also looking at Luke chapter 10, verses 19. As well as some other scriptures that you're going to be able to listen to during this podcast. As I do with many of the podcasts, I encourage you to think about one to three things. In fact, just even pausing, inviting the Holy Spirit in. What's for me? What is for me to draw me closer to Jesus Christ of Nazareth? To unzip the stress, the anxiety, the fear that flows from negative thinking. What one to three things is in this podcast? I give you permission, Lord, to bump me when I tune into or listen to that one thing that you want me to take before you and expand and transfer into my day-to-day life. This is a very powerful invitation for all of us because we have a tendency to think negatively, to focus on the one negative thing. I remember learning this in Psych 101, and I actually went up to the professor after the class and I said, why is that we gravitate toward the negative? And he said, wait to the next class. And then the next class, he got into the primal brain and how, as we were developing, used it as a story walking through the forest. It was the lions and tigers and bears that would capture our attention. If there's tons of beautiful things going on, the way that our brain is wired and God created us is actually for safety and protection. And so when a long time ago, it used to be for the protection of our physical safety. Now, the lions, tigers, and bears have been replaced by fear, self-doubt, and worry, along with a bunch of their friends that take up free rent in between our two ears. And we forget we are the landlord and we have two things going on for us as believers in Jesus Christ in Nazareth: power and authority. Power and authority. And we often forget this. And so we find ourselves at midnight wrestling with those shadows and creating a lot of mind reading, storytelling, and the perfect drama that's based on smoke and mirrors rather than on the reality of whose you are in Christ, and that the battle does not belong to you, but to the Lord, and our victory lies in Christ. These are things that kind of fall to the wayside when we're serving breakfast in bed to fear, self-doubt, and worry. So again, the title is A Solution. We're going to explore the solution in the Holy Scriptures today for negative thinking. Negative thinking leads to what? What does negative thinking lead to? When you have a negative thought and you are watering it, giving it sunshine of your conscious awareness, what does it grow into, spill out into? Our behavior. Negative thinking leads to negative behavior. They're linked. They walked hand in hand. Now, our empowerment lies in our ability to catch that negative thought before it takes root. Have you ever tried to pull out one of those deep, thorny roots in your garden? The longer you wait, the harder it is to get those roots to release. And when you pull them out and they're just tiny little seedlings coming up, they just pop right out. No big deal. Same thing with your thoughts. When you can catch them before they take root, before they claim a room and a bed inside your interior world, inside the castle, then the odds are you'll be able to cast that out quicker versus a thought form that's been taking up free rent for a while. That's going to take more determination, high noticing, and the ability to shift and call in the authority and the power that is yours in Jesus Christ of Nazareth to evict those thoughts. One thing that's very important to know as we're discussing today's topic, as well as our victory in this area of finding a solution for negative thinking, is to understand a little bit about our adversary. This is understanding your opponent. When I was training for my black belts and when I was going for my second degree black belt, as well as training for the Colorado State Championship, it was all about understanding the possible moves that my opponent would make so that I could practice in advance before stepping into the ring to guarantee my success. My practice, 4 hours a day, 6 days a week, took place outside of the ring. Each round was less than 3 minutes, and even shorter than that. So our greatest strength lies in our ability to flood our mind with the power of Christ through sacraments, through the word of God, to be able to sit before Jesus. Who am I, Lord, and you? Remind my mind of my victory today. And you can be very bold with your prayers. One of my prayers daily is, dear God, show up for me today and override my ego, because I know if you don't show up for me, things are going to go south really quickly. And so it's that honest conversation as soon as your eyes open up to invite our source of power and authority to the front lines of our thought life. How often do you do that? What do you usually spend your time doing the first 5 to 10 minutes when you open your eyes in the morning? There's a verse in the Bible that says, give your first fruits to God and the harvest will be plentiful. And so our choice of time spent as soon as we open up our eyes in the morning actually puts into motion our success or failure when it comes to mastering the mind. Because going back to Psych 101, we have the tendency to focus on the one thing. It's a beautiful sunny day, walking in the forest. There's a rustling in the bush. What happens? All of our attention turns from all the beauty, the birds, the bunnies, the sunshine. There might be 100 different beautiful things, but that one bush is rustling, and we see it as a threat. As soon as that happens, as soon as we see something as a threat outside of us, that's when we're vulnerable to what's referred to in neuroscience as bottom-up thinking. That's when we'll start catastrophizing. That's when we will mind read, we'll story tell, we'll fortune tell. We'll start to spin. We'll become spin doctors of drama that's based between the thoughts that we're nurturing and giving attention to between our two ears. It's not based on reality. In fact, I love the studies that reveal that up to 90 to 93% of what we worry about never even happens. Isn't that interesting? So to understand our adversary is very important as we're looking for the victory over negative thinking. This is something very important. And perhaps this is your 1 to 3 things that you'll capture from today's podcast, that Satan is the great accuser and confuser. He's the great accuser and confuser. And every time that he can get you to accuse yourself or another human being or confuse you or use you to confuse another human being, yay, you're going to get a standing ovation from him. Anytime that you respond to one of those hot Facebook posts and it gets you flared up because you see something as a threat, remember, it's not the lions and tigers and bears. It's the fear, self-doubt, and worry that breed anger and judgment. And as you respond, you're getting that clap from the dark side. He's the great accuser and the great confuser. So anytime you're confused, anytime that you're accusing or responding or reacting, actually reacting to being accused and taking offense and getting spun, there's plenty of Earth School material these days. Just flip on the tube, get on social media. You'll find that your body in 125 thousandths of a second, that's how quickly when you see something as a threat to your sense of meaning, significance, safety, and connection, it kicks in something referred to as the HPA axis. The hypothalamus calls up the pituitary, which calls up the adrenals and says, hey, we're under attack, batten down the hatches. When that happens, the frontal cortex actually restricts the blood, shoots the blood to the back part of the brain, and you have three choices, fight, flight, or freeze. What happens during fight, flight, or freeze in that restricted brain mode? Fear slithers in, anger, judgment, taking offense, sense of insecurity. Pride loves that space. Greed flourishes there. Self-focus, sloth, judgment, idolatry, pride. Basically, Tolkien summed it up. You become Gollum in the cave. And as I've mentioned before, Tolkien was masterful at picking that word. It's not just a random word. Gollum, the translation or the original origin, etymology of the word, means the unman or unwoman, the man or woman who's lost themselves in the fetish. I talk about this quite a bit because it's an awesome image that Tolkien offers us. When do you shoot into the cave? When you're clinging to your ring, your positionality. Perhaps it's a possession. Perhaps it's the need to be right, liked, understood. Either way, this is where this is a breeding ground started by a spark. I'm under attack and I'm under threat. And that gives birth to the negative thought, which harbored for long enough, sometimes only a half an hour, 15 minutes, sometimes it's less than a minute when you react and shoot off a reactive email, it breeds bad behavior. It breeds negative behavior, lights off behavior. Your lights have been punched out. And when you forget your skill set in Christ, meaning what is your heritage? What is our heritage? We're told in the scriptures that, and we're commissioned, we're sent forth by Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you guys. Is anything impossible for us in that space? We have confidence in the authority as a believer in Christ. And our confidence is actually linked as a believer, directly linked to the trust that we have in the power of God. So when you're feeling trampled by a negative thought form, and it's, I call them mini oppressions, and it's taken up root in your mind. You're the landlord and you're giving it free rent. You're serving it breakfast in bed and it's with you 24/7. Sometimes it'll wake you up at 1 o'clock, time to get up. Let's start focusing on this even more. And you'll start catastrophizing. You'll start mind reading, fortune telling. And all of a sudden 4 hours go by so that you're less effective. He is the great accuser and confuser. When does he do that kind of work? When the sun goes down, that's usually when it hits you most powerfully. So remember whose you are today. You are a child of the living God. You are part of a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Jesus Christ of Nazareth died to win us into eternity. Nothing is impossible for us when we abide in Christ. Abide, abide, abide. John chapter 17. He is the vine. We are the branch. Our victory over negative thinking is directly associated with how closely we can abide in our thoughts with Christ. I was sharing with someone this week, I don't trust my mind. And I don't trust my mind so much that whenever I'm not working with a client or writing or emailing or talking on the phone, professionally speaking, I'm listening to the scriptures. There's a Bible app you can get just to fill my mind with the word of God. Or I'm listening to, right now, I'm listening to a 9-hour book download of the Confessions of St. Augustine. Great light reading. Actually, it's one of the books that captivated my heart in college, and it's got so much wisdom in it. Don't trust your mind. Take every thought captive, whatever that looks like for you. What does that look like for you? Or what will that look like for you? What is something in Sherpa Executive Coaching, we call it an IC to, I commit to. What is a behavior that you can commit to take back your thought life for Christ this week? What would that look like for you? I know that you're going to have a ton of transitions. You're going to be going from email to the phone, to the car, to a meeting, to another meeting, whatever work you're doing from one child to another child, picking up a child, driving a child, having dinner, making dinner. There's tons of transitions during the day. And there's that pause in between shifting from one activity to the next. What behavior can you commit to help you take every thought captive for Christ? What do you think of in those transitions? What do you usually do with that time? Do you fill it, or do you pause and push the refresh button to reconnect with God, with the power of God within you? As I mentioned before, the confidence you have in your authority as a believer, the authority to drive out negative thoughts, the authority over the dark side, over the serpents that slither in, is directly linked to the trust you have in an all-powerful God who backs up the authority that you have through Christ, through your belief in Jesus Christ. As soon as you started that journey, I started my journey, I fell in love with Jesus. I often say he had me at hello at 17, and it's continued to grow, thanks be to God. As I came to the end of myself, going through advanced cancer and divorce, with every storm, Jesus comes too. And as you resurrect that intimacy, that closeness with Christ, and you know and experience the joy that Jesus died to give you through that intimacy with Christ, there's no going back. And it takes overriding one thought at a time. Holy Spirit, grant us the grace to override one negative thought, one more negative thought today than yesterday, this minute than last minute, this next 30 seconds than the last 30 seconds. Give me victory. And as we're told and invited, actually, by Jesus Christ of Nazareth himself, we see how he works with his people, his followers. In Luke chapter 9, verse 1, he summoned his disciples together and gathered them together. And he gave them power and authority over all demons. He was sending them out. In Luke 9:1, and I found this really fascinating. I've been reading the scripture since I was 17 and studying the scriptures. And this is the first time I realized that, oh my goodness, Jesus is speaking and commissioning his followers one chapter after the other. In chapter 9, we see Jesus called them together and gave them the right. This is the right you have as a believer in Jesus Christ. The power and authority over all demons and to heal diseases. He gave us the power and authority. How much are we using that? It's like having an endless bank account with millions of dollars in it, and we're only taking out like a dollar a day. What can we do? What can you do tomorrow or in the next hour to give more authority to your relationship with Christ, the seal of the Holy Spirit that reminds you that you are his ambassador? He is sending you out in this next half hour to make him recognizable in this world, to spread the gospel, to share the good news. And he's given you two things to override negative thinking: power and authority. Power and authority. Then when we flip to Luke chapter 10, this is really powerful. Luke chapter 10, verse 19, Jesus again, in the next chapter, listen carefully. I have given you authority that you now possess to tread on serpents and scorpions and the ability to exercise all authority over all the power of the enemy. So he's saying to us that we have power and authority over the power of the enemy. Now, let's face it, the enemy has power. You want to see what kind of power? Just turn on the news. Look at social media. Walk outside. Listen to people and how they speak to one another. Listen to yourself and the things that spin you during the day. There's slippery little serpents all over the place. And our battle, as we're told in the scripture, is not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of evil waging war against our soul. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is a spiritual battle. Don't be fooled and bring it down to the human level. This is a spiritual battle going on. One of the books I read in college, it was called This Present Darkness. If you haven't read that book, I don't even know if it's still in print. Highly recommend you look it up. This Present Darkness. I think it was by Frank someone. Anyway, This Present Darkness. But it was a fiction written about that truth that our battle isn't against flesh and blood, but the power of principalities of evil forces waging war against our soul. The devil prowls around like a roaring lion looking to devour us. You can see it all over the place. Don't give in. Do not forget whose you are. Come back to your heritage as a follower of Jesus Christ. Read the scripture in Luke chapter 9 verses 1 and Luke chapter 10 verse 19. He remember the power and authority. See, he's given us power and authority over the power of Satan, and nothing will harm you. If you notice here, Jesus doesn't say the power and authority of Satan. Satan doesn't have authority. It just says the power. And he doesn't have any power to create anything, which is why he takes what's already created and he twists it. He twists the truth. He's the great accuser and the great confuser. Did God really say that? Did he really say that? No, he said this. So he'll take the truth and he twists it. Don't play that game. Ain't nobody got time for that. We got souls to save. God needs us on the battlefield line, the front line, to make him recognizable in this world. Reclaim your power and authority in Christ today. The learning objective is simple from today's podcast: to flip your interior script into the power and authority of Christ within you, one thought at a time. To flip your interior script into the power and authority of Christ within you, one thought at a time. Holy Spirit, help us to grab one more thought in this moment than the last moment and make it obedient to you. And that brings us to the other scripture, which is in Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, which Paul is speaking to the Corinthians here. And he says, "For though we walk in the flesh as mortal men," we're still wearing the earth suit here. "We're not carrying on our spiritual warfare according to the flesh." This is the scripture, similar to the scripture I was quoting earlier. "Our battle isn't against flesh and blood, but the spiritual forces of evil waging war against our soul. The weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood. Our weapons are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying sophisticated arguments and every exalted and proud thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought and purpose captive and make it obedient to Christ." This, we're commissioned to do this. This isn't just a casual conversation. You can look into this or not. Paul is pulling back the veil and giving us the formula, the process for success over the spiritual forces of evil waging war against our soul. And by the way, look to your right, look to your left, in front of and behind you, everyone around us, prowling around like a roaring lion. This is our victory. To one, understand your opponent only has power, not authority. Two, understand that the weapons we must fight with for victory here over negative thinking, the weapons that we're fighting with are divine, powerful weapons. And they can cast out demons. They can destruct or break down fortresses and strongholds in your life. Do you have a stronghold of anger? A stronghold of judgment? Perhaps it's fear. Or perhaps you're Gollum in the cave, clinging to a past pain. Non-forgiveness. Perhaps you're not even motivated to get out of bed. Or self-focus, so much so that you've gotten to the point where you can't even understand where someone else is coming from. And you have built a prison around yourself. And you're standing in your positionality so much so that you're spending all of your mind energy and energy that could be spent spreading the gospel of Christ on defense and defending and taking offense. Guess who's clapping? Satan gives you a standing ovation, gives me a standing ovation every time we take offense and we react back with anger. Anger evokes anger. Fear evokes fear. He doesn't have the authority to create anything. Understand your opponent so that you can prepare for the battle, for the battlefield. Stepping up to the front lines. When I was told that I had 5 years to live at 38 years old with three young children, 8, 10, and 12, 1 week prior to my final divorce court date, I was at a crossroads, coming to the end of myself. My pride, my ego, my ring in the cave, I knew in order to save my life, I had to completely lose it in Christ if I was to grab a hold of victory over death. And as a result of one thought at a time, because fear was right by my side, you're going to die. You're going to leave your three kids behind. And it was constantly slithering around. And I would have to say no. And quote Psalm 91. And quote Exodus 14:14. I will fight your battle. You have only to be still. And quote Zechariah 4:6. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. The battle belongs to the Lord. I will give you victory. And quote as well, Deuteronomy 28:7, the Lord will grant that enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction. That's a diagnosis. That's one direction. But flee from you from in seven. Not, the diagnosis came in one direction. Lauren, are you sitting down? You have advanced cancer. This is what the next 2 years is going to look like for you. This is what the next 5 years is going to look like for you. And that diagnosis will flee from me in seven directions. Why? Because along with that one way came fear, came anxiety, came worry. And that all fleed in seven directions. Deuteronomy 28:7. Highly recommend you store that one in memory for the Holy Spirit to pull up when you're on the battlefield line. And you've got boots on the ground and you're in the trenches of life. The other one to remember is to understand your opponent. Your opponent only has power to twist and distort, smoke and mirrors, mind read, fortune tell, create a drama, take offense, accuse. Those are all of his techniques. Be aware of them so that you are not fooled, so that you can put on the armor of Christ. And you can walk in the spirit, not in the flesh, so that you can destroy the strongholds that are set up against you. How do they get victory? One thought at a time. Rebuke, bind, cast out a negative thought. Grab it by its tail. Stay awake at the gate of your thoughts by the power and authority of Jesus Christ, so that you can grab that negative thought before it slithers in, makes itself comfortable. And then you become the servant. You drive the bus with Christ. You cast out those negative thoughts by the power and authority of the same Spirit that rose Jesus Christ of Nazareth from the grave. So I'm going to end with just declaring some scriptures. And perhaps one of these scriptures will really resonate with you, and I encourage you to re-listen to this podcast, pause it, rewind it, write it down, and store it in memory. This is our victory, one thought at a time. Erase and replace. That's actually an NLP technique, neuro-linguistic programming. Erase the negative thought, replace it with a scripture of victory that reminds your mind, which is of the flesh, of the power and authority that is yours in Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That's your solution. That's our victory. Remind our mind, Holy Spirit, whose we are and the power and authority that belongs to us. It's our birthright as we've been born again in you, Lord Jesus. So we already read Luke 9:1. He called the disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons. All the demons. All the demons. When anybody, I have some priest friends that were responsible for doing some exorcisms, and I asked them several questions as to the protocol of what that looks like. One of the things that they shared is they'll ask, what is your name? What's the name? Is it fear? Is it pride? Is it greed? Is it depression? Is it sloth? Is it judgment? Adultery? What's your name? You take authority and power over that thought. Ask that question. In the name of Jesus Christ, what's your name that's holding me back in the cave of negative thinking? And therefore, there's negative behavior. We often know when we'll say comments like, I'm just not myself. Don't leave it there. Flip that script into the power and authority of Christ within you, one thought at a time. Luke 10:19, behold, I give you authority, power and authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Mark 6:13, they had the power and authority in Jesus Christ of Nazareth. They were casting out many demons and were anointing many people, and many sick people were healing them. These are the followers of Jesus Christ. Same holds true in the book of Acts. Book of Acts, they opened their eyes, so many of them turned from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me, Jesus Christ. He was constantly speaking to his people as he was guiding them in the book of Acts. That's the first book written after the Gospels. It says, okay, now what? Go forth and spread the gospel. If you've never read the book of Acts, highly encourage you to read that and ask the Holy Spirit to turn the lights on in your castle and to ignite that flame and that hunger and thirst to want to share the good news as Jesus commissioned us to do. We forget whose we are and why we're here. Our main purpose is to make God recognizable through Jesus Christ of Nazareth. James 4:7, submit therefore to God, resist the devil. Resist the devil, that's it? That's all I have to do? And guess what? He'll flee. One thought at a time. Mark 16:17. These signs will accompany those who have believed in my name. This is a sign. Mark 16:17. They'll cast out demons and they'll speak with new tongues. In Luke 9:49, John answered him, Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name. Now, this is someone that heard about Jesus and the power in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. It's amazing how something good spreads, right? So someone had heard about it. The disciples, now be careful of this, because we like power so much that Satan can get a hold of that and ego can get twisted in that. And then it becomes a shadow and you become imprisoned by it. And one of his disciples is like, hey, we saw someone else casting out demons in your name. And we tried to prevent them because they're not following us. They're not along with us. They're not with us. So be very careful of envy, jealousy, judgment toward other people. Jesus just flatlined that, was saying, hey, whoever's not with me is against me. They're using my name. They're with me. So the Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. And these are the enemies between your two ears, because we're addressing negative thinking. It robs us of the fullness of joy that Christ died to give us. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, and they'll flee from you in seven. How is this possible? By recognizing, believing in, relying on, trusting in the almighty power of God that dwells within you, that backs up the authority that is yours, that is mine, as a believer in Jesus Christ of Nazareth. How often, when a negative thought comes in your mind, have you said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I cast this out, and I replace this with the truth that the one who dwells within me is greater than this thought from the world. So even though we're wired for protection to focus on the negative, and that one negative thing, that's for safety and protection, give more authority to the strength of God within you and the mind of Christ to override the thought forms that oppress you, that twist you inside. You can have 10 good things happen and one negative. Start exercising the power and authority that Christ has given you to override that negative thought so that you can run and not grow weary and walk and not faint, so that you can truly lean your entire personality and experience the life that Jesus Christ of Nazareth died to give you. It is for life that I have come to set you free. The devil comes to kill and destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it to the fullest. Life to the fullest, every single moment. How is this possible? Have confidence in the power and authority of Christ to override every negative thought that pops in your mind this week. One more thought today than yesterday. One more thought this hour than last hour. What will you do? What's your IC2? What will you commit to now moving forward in terms of a behavior to be able to evict the negative thinking and to start a pattern? It takes 63 days to anchor a new pattern, a new messaging system within the brain so that that becomes your screensaver. Why not start today? Start exercising the authority of the one who died to save your life. We have the same spirit that rose Jesus Christ of Nazareth from the grave. Are you taking out $1 a day? Why not go for the fullness of the gift of freedom? Because it is for freedom. In Galatians 5:1, and one of our founding scriptures in the mission for Edge God and Ministries, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm and don't allow yourself to be burdened by the yoke of slavery of negative thinking. Take one thought back at a time with the power and authority using the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Peace be with you this evening. We end in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, sweet Jesus. Victory is ours. If we read all the way through the scriptures, the battle's already won. Give us the strength to grab a hold of everything that you've already grabbed a hold of us for. Help us to remember that though we're still walking in the flesh, that we don't address the spiritual battle from a fleshly point of view, but we understand the technique, the weapons that we must use in order to experience that victory, because the weapons we use in you have power and authority to cast down strongholds, to destroy arguments and exalted pride that's in front of us, that's within us, and everything that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Give us the strength to take every thought captive today more than yesterday, and make it obedient to Christ so that we can experience that fullness of life that you died to give us, so that we could rejoice in you, that our names are written in the book of life. Give us that strength, that remembrance of the Spirit, to resist the devil quicker today than yesterday, and to understand that any time there is an accusation or confusion, we understand the source of that, and we bind, rebuke, and cast out in your name, so that when you call us home, our colors will be clear, that we have been your ambassador in this world, and you have made your appeal through us, one thought at a time. In your most precious name we pray, in the name of Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. So give them heaven, and it starts between your two ears. I look forward to our next Edge God In podcast. Please visit us at edgegodin.com for more solutions to champion your human potential in Christ. God's favor to you this evening.